Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. No longer on Google Podcasts because nobody is. So if you're Android, check out Spotify or the 5 Reasons YouTube channel. For Apple, of course, Apple Podcasts. Also check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. 10 different channels. Chat with other Heat fans and with us pretty much all day long. Also, you get the most Heat information there of anywhere. We'll put it up against anybody. $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description on the podcast feed, also on the YouTube channel and pinned to the top of the 5 Reasons Twitter page. Also, we want to introduce a great new sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network, like so many of our sponsors, Big Miami Heat fans. You can check them out at BigBrotherIronwork.com. That's BigBrotherIronwork.com. Ironwork.com. They specialize in all metalwork such as aluminum fences, gates, pergolas, railings, and more. They guarantee steadfast fabrication and installation, and they'll offer free estimates across Florida, including Dade County, Broward, the Keys, and more. Competitive pricing, licensed and insured, everything that you're looking for. Again, 20 years of experience, established experts in the field. Check them out, BigBrotherIronwork.com. Again, that's BigBrotherIronwork.com. In English, call Abraham at 786-406-5780. Again, that's 786-406-5780. For Spanish, you can also reach out to Daniel at 305-218-8681. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscay.
Yikes.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me, Ethan J. Skolnick. I feel like I haven't done a podcast with you in a while. Alex Toledo, you can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We left him on an island for the Heat Toronto game on Friday night. Good news. Actually, I just found out before we started the podcast. Not only will I be there Sunday, I don't know if that's good news, with Alex Basile Brady Hawk. He'll be making his return to our coverage on Sunday at the game against Toronto. So check out our coverage starting at 1 o'clock at the arena. And of course, we'll have a post-game podcast for you afterwards. I believe Greg is going to be handling that one along with Sean Rochester and Matt Hanifin, most likely. So here's what we're going to do at the very beginning of this episode, because you weren't with us yesterday, Alex. Matt brought out the calculator, the abacus. Actually, I brought out my little yellow paper here. I was getting mocked for this. I'm very old school, as you know. I don't know. He put it into AI or something like that, was able to formulate it. Also, the Heat have put it out now. We're going to go over the scenarios again for everybody, because this episode is going, we put it in the second half of the last episode. So we're going to go through the scenarios again, and then we will get into, you know, briefly another topic for today. But let's go through it, Alex. I'm going to run through it. Actually, I'll just read what the Heat sent, because this is actually probably the easiest way to go about this. They actually sent an official.
This is the most modern way of doing a press release ever.
It really was, and I was actually surprised that they did this for us, because, again, they keep talking about how they don't care about seating. But we do thank the PR staff, which we greatly appreciate, for getting this out to us. All right, you ready?
Here we go. The entire room yesterday, media room last night, was just like, before Spo got there, just trying to like, go through all the different scenarios.
How many times did Ira tell you we were wrong? Because that's my question. Do we have an over-under for that on Prize Picks? Use the code 5, get that initial deposit matched up to $100. All right. Outside the state of Florida. All right, so here we go. Okay, the Heat, of course, play Toronto. Toronto has been now in South Florida for a little bit of time. They have nothing to play for at all. South Beach flu, I would assume. I mean, look, if you're going to spend a final weekend in NBA regular season somewhere, it's a bunch of young players. Might as well be in Miami, right? So I'm sure they had fun. They just lost by more than 20, and for the Heat's sake, you hope that the same occurs on Sunday. So let's start here, okay? Let's just start from the bottom, okay? If the Heat lose, they're eighth. Simple. That's it. If the Heat lose, they're an embarrassment and they're eighth. That's basically where we're at. Like, you cannot lose this game. All right, not with everything that's in front of you. They also could be eighth, however, and there are three other games that we're talking about that are of importance to the Heat. One is Hawks Pacers, one is Bucks Magic, and one is Nets Sixers. Okay, in all three cases, the team that the Heat need to win or would like to win is a significant underdog on Sunday. So let's be clear on that. And the other thing is, all of these games are at 1 o'clock. The NBA does that on purpose. All the East games at 1, East plays East. All the West games at 3:30, they do this so that nobody kind of holds guys out based on who else somebody else is holding out and all the rest of this. Now, of course, you can change things as the game goes on, but they're trying to make it as even level as possible. The NFL has done this sort of thing in recent years also. It's just kind of the way that they go about it these days. All right, so we'll work from the bottom. If the Heat lose, they're 8.
Yep.
If the Heat win, but in this case, the Pacers game doesn't matter, but the Magic beat the Bucks, Philadelphia beats the Nets, the Heat are also 8th. Do we understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, we went through the odds of these three games, by the way, yesterday. I'll just tell you, Alex, where Matt, me, and Greg came to. We give the Bucks about a 30% chance to beat the Magic. Some of this is dependent on Dame and whether or not they care. Yeah. Game is in Orlando. Fully dependent. I mean, it's just crazy that the Heat season is back here where we're talking about Dame again. And then we could be talking about Dame right after this, actually, if things break
the way the Heat. Fully dependent on Dame last summer.
For 2 months of podcasts. So hopefully he asks for a trade again, because otherwise we're screwed. Hawks, we gave him about a 20% chance to beat the Pacers. I might say it's a little higher than that, but that's kind of where we came to. And then we gave the Nets about a 20%. They don't, but they're kind of scrappy and screw around like that. And plus, Trey's kind of working his way back in. They might play him minutes to get rhythm, possibly. Yeah, I don't know. They don't have Jalen Johnson. So there is a chance there that you just have, you know, Trey, maybe DeJounte sits, but that Trey just goes off. Who knows? And then the Nets, we gave him about a 20% chance to beat the Sixers. That might be generous. Although the Nets did step up with nothing to play for and beat the Pacers about a week and a half ago. And look, they don't have to play to lose because they don't have a first round pick. So, I mean, they're just – Cam Thomas, you know, is trying to prove a point to people. He could score 30, and who knows? Maybe the Sixers are a little lazy. Sixers have done some screwy things on their home floor in recent years. So anything – and what if Embiid just – you know, if he tweaks the knee again? I mean, he tweaked it in the last game, and they sit him for the rest of the game. You just never know. So either way, not a great chance of any of it, but a chance. All right, so anyway, 8th seed, the Heat are the 8th seed if they lose or if they win – but Orlando and Philadelphia both win their games. In that case, the Pacers game is not relevant. Okay. The Heat are 7th, which would mean of course, if they're 8th, they're going to be on the road play-in team. And not to complicate this further, but if they're the road play-in team, if they're going to Orlando or Indiana in the road play-in game, it will be on Tuesday.
Yep.
If you have to go to Philadelphia, it will be Wednesday, because the Flyers have the building in Philadelphia on Tuesday night. So we'll get to more of that later if we have to on Sunday night. Okay. To be the 7, which means be the home play-in team. Of course, Miami win. Anything we do up the chart now, Miami's going to win. Okay, so just assume that.
Yeah.
And you need either, okay, Orlando to lose or Philadelphia to lose. So just one. All right. Now, who you would play in that play-in game in a 7-8, I guess you would need – well, you'd play one of those two teams, right? Orlando or Philadelphia, whichever team loses yep. at home. So it seems like a pretty good scenario would be get the 7, Orlando loses to Milwaukee, right, is the 8. You host Orlando. You hopefully get that game. They've played pretty well against the Magic this year. And then you're set up for a 7-2 matchup, which would be against, by the way, Milwaukee. Because for Orlando to lose, they lost to Milwaukee, which means Milwaukee would keep the 2nd seed. Okay. I wonder if Miami want, if Milwaukee wants that scenario. Does Milwaukee want to see Miami potentially in the first round? Because winning that game and getting the second seed means that you are likely getting Miami in your first round series, right?
People have been talking about this with like them wanting to avoid Philadelphia too, as if they're like, everything is up in the air right now. So this whole talk about like the Bucks, you know, maybe not playing guys on Sunday because they want to avoid. Nobody knows where anybody's going to end up. So how are you going to exact? I think like they should play to win because first of all, the whole, I mean, the higher you are, of course, the more you're going to have home court advantage. But besides that, it's like you could send one of those teams to go and play. I mean, you don't know who you're going to play. You know what I mean? So like there's just no point of Milwaukee not trying on Sunday.
But you don't know who you're going to play, but you're more likely to play Miami. But okay, to your point. You really shouldn't be thinking about that if you're the Bucks. I mean, honestly, what the Bucks should be thinking about is when is Giannis going
to
be healthy?
And they can fall down to four everything. If things go wrong. They can fall down to
correct.
Four. Play Boston in the second round if they get, of course, get out of the first round. But like,
that would be the worst. That would be the worst case scenario. That would be the worst case scenario for them. And also, although they always mess around, that's been their organizational strategy. They're always trying to game the system one way or another, and it's blown up in their face a couple times. But even though they have a different head coach now, who's worse at gaming the system than anybody else they had before. But the other option is you don't really, if you were them, you don't really want to be three because then if you end up in a second round matchup, you could be going to New York for game one, game seven scenario in a second round matchup. And I don't know that the Bucks want to have to go into Madison Square Garden in a game seven. So you're right. What the Bucks should really try to do is win the damn game, honestly, which means Dame should play and which means they should play to win. But I don't know what's in their minds. Like, I don't, because we've seen them do all kinds of weird things, including, you know, fire their head coach this year after like 25 games and put Doc Rivers in charge. So it's just, it's a weird organization. All right. That's a seven. So I think that's a good scenario for Miami, actually. We're all things considered. Like, if you got also, Orlando like, at home,
really quick, more it. Motivation for the Bucks, just that I'm thinking about it now. Like, if you're the Bucks tomorrow, you beat the Magic, you give yourself a higher chance of, despite on top of everything else we're talking about, the benefits of them trying, you give yourself a better chance of actually playing the Magic in the first round.
Yes.
It's not that they're going to beat like the Heat.
If the Magic beat the Heat. Right.
It's a Magic beat the Heat. Game sample. They're a really tough defense. They have good young players. Like, I get it. That's like everybody's preference, but it's still a one game sample. Like, it feels like the more I think about it, the Bucks have a lot more motivation to win than maybe we thought.
Well, what we know if Dame is active, like that's, I feel like we'll know. Like, if Dame is active, we'll know they're trying, right? At least for a little while. Orlando talked about how excited they are to go home. Well, I don't know that they make a huge difference at this point. But sure, I mean, to me, it's the one guy who can steal the game for them is Dame. I mean, that's really what you're looking at. They've got some young players they could play too, but Doc doesn't like to play them under any circumstances. All right, so let's get to the other two scenarios here just real quick. To finish sixth, again, assume Miami win. You would need so we went through this already, so I'm going to try to track this down. You would need the Bucks to win and the Nets to win, but it's okay that the Pacers the Hawks lose. The only difference between five and six is you would get all three. You need all three to get five. Yeah. You need the Hawks, Bucks, and Nets to all win to get five. To get six, you just need the Bucks and Nets to win. Now, there are Heat fans who will say, we don't want the five.
I get it.
We don't really care about the Hawks beating the Pacers. We don't want to be in Boston's bracket. We don't want the five. There's no benefit to being five over six, really. I mean, the odds of five playing six down the road in a playoff series are pretty slim. I don't think we've ever seen that.
But I would say that's definitely better than, like, ending up in the play-in. Because even though, like, I get it, I would much rather stay out of that bracket, too. Like, with the play-in, you could easily just lose the first game and then have to play Boston in the first round.
Right.
So I don't know if I would want to take that chance.
With a play-in, you're literally like walking out on like a high wire. Like that's, I mean, really what you're doing. Like, and if you make it to like halfway, which basically means which you actually make the playoffs by getting the eight, securing the eight seed, then you're not making it to the other side anyway because you're getting Boston in the first round when you got no rhythm. So you're doomed basically in that situation. At least any of these other seeds, you're giving yourself a little bit more leeway, particularly obviously the five and six. I mean, the odds of them getting the five are pretty slim. I mean, you need all three of these kind of long shots to hit. But I go back to 2004, which is something that Spo references from time to time. I know others in the front office do, where like they like five different things had to happen for them to end up as the four seed. Then they all happened. And Miami ended up hosting New Orleans in that first round series. And of course, that was Dwayne's coming out party in the playoffs. And they ended up winning that series.
Didn't something like similar happen in I believe 2016 when the Heat ended up as like the three seed with a bunch of tiebreakers, and that was the season that of course versus Toronto.
I think so. There was the other season that they didn't want it to happen, which was Diawara hitting a shot that they didn't really want him to hit, and they ended up I believe
playing Boston
instead of they would have gotten Atlanta again, and instead they got Boston. Remember that? It was like a double overtime game or something. Like, there's always these shenanigans at the end of the season. There's a history with Toronto with this. They have Dwayne Wade because they screwed up tanking against Toronto in the last game of the season. I always talk about this one. I wrote basketball a column saying karma. I said they should win. They should try to lose the game. And I remember some people who are still there were very angry at me for writing that column for the Sun Sentinel. We don't do that kind of thing. You know us. They were kind of doing that kind of thing, but it didn't work because they suck at tanking, as they all say. And they ended up winning the game against Toronto, which pushed them back to five from four. And they were otherwise would have taken Chris Bosh, who ends up with them anyway. But of course, they took Dwayne Wade because they were the five seeds. All right, so all of this, before we get briefly, we're going to set this thing up. We may not do a full other topic today. We're going to save some of these, I think, is where we look at. But what do you think is most likely? What are you expecting? Well, we're in the press room on at about 3:35 on Sunday afternoon, on a lovely Sunday afternoon in South Florida, 81 degrees, all the rest of this. We're watching this crap for 2.5 hours, right? Just get it over with. Let Toronto go back to Canada. Let them go through customs. Let the season end. What are you expecting? What are you expecting the end result to be?
Do you want to know what my first instinct was when you said that just now? Heat lose. Heat lose to the Raptors somehow. Now, that's not like my real expectation, but that was the first like thought that just came across my mind when you said that. It's like, oh, we've been talking about all these scenarios and then they just blow it versus like, because first of all, RJ Barrett killed them last night. And I know that, like, and I heard the show, you said that you barely remember it. That made me laugh, but
I don't remember a single basket. I really don't. We were talking the whole time on playback.
He's the most, like, I get it. He gets 30 and it's like, you know, it's very, you know, very quiet compared to other guys who get there. But man, like, they have, like, their starting five are NBA rotation players. And that scares me already, because it's not like, let's say, the Grizzlies right now who are playing like eight G leaguers, right? The Raptors have guys there. They're not like a great team or anything, but you know, Kelly can have a much better game than he did last night. Gary Trent has killed them throughout the years. Almost every time he plays the Heat,
I know.
And I'm not gonna say why I'm upset at him, but he, you know, he he had a stinker last night against the Heat. Very, very unlike him, I'll say, but. That he could easily, you know, have a comeback game tomorrow. Like that was my first thought. But in reality, what I really thought was Heat win, and they're likely going to be the eighth seed. If I just think like maybe one of those things hits and you're the seventh seed. But honestly, that doesn't really move me because they've been so much better, or not so much better, but better on the road than at home. They've been so weird at home. And honestly, what to me, like if you end up in the play-in, which is the most likely scenario, it's all about just winning that game, whether you're home or road. Like the gap between getting to play one of Milwaukee, New York, or Cleveland, because Cleveland is still technically in the race for the second seed, and having to play Boston in the first round it's a huge gap. And you know me, man, like I love when the Heat play the Celtics, always have the guts, all that. But I'm so with you on this, where it's like, get them later. Just avoid them as long as you can, because the rest of the East is not that impressive. Like, there's a lot of decent teams, but because of that, that's the reason that the Heat are even in this race to get out of the play-in is because the East has just been like the Heat have not been like amazing these past few weeks, right? But neither have these other teams. The Bucks and the Magic have had some tough stretches here, especially the Bucks, right? The Cavs had those injuries, and we've gone over
the Bucks
this.
The Bucks are under 500 with Doc. I mean, look, the whole reason that this is the funny thing about this is that there are a lot of teams with, you know, mid to high 40s and wins, right? The whole reason for that, but the whole reason for that is because the bottom four teams in the East were atrocious, like worse than we usually see. And because of that, these teams, none of which are that good, and unfortunately, I hate to say it, the Heat are included in that. None of these teams are that good, but they cleaned up against those teams at the very bottom of the East, Detroit, Charlotte, Washington, etc. And so, you know, I don't know that any of these teams scare you. I do know that Cleveland has returned now with its full healthy 8-man rotation. So we'll see what that looks like. But Milwaukee comes in with Giannis out. New York, I mean, give them great credit for, look, they don't lose much with Ananobi and Brunson playing. They're 18-2. So you got to take them seriously, even without Randall. And you've talked about, too, that they present some other problems not having Randall. But none of these teams, I think Philly's the second best team in the East right now. And they're playing like it. They've won 8 in a row. And it's probably, you know, probably if you look at pecking order, it is Boston, which is still flawed mentally. Okay, they're not winning a championship. I'll keep repeating that. But Boston at 1, although Denver, what the hell was that against Wemby? Just like, you blow a 22-point lead when you can lock up the 1 seed? I'm starting to have some questions there, too.
It made him angry.
We're entering the Wemby OKC era, okay?
Like, God, just like the rest.
There's going to be – you want to talk about what the hell is ESPN going to do, by the way? Because it's going to be San Antonio OKC for the next, like, what, 5 to 10 years? Of the West. They're still going to be talking about the Lakers and Golden State where they're in the 12 and 13 spots. But, look, the East is Boston, but flawed – not flawed on paper, but flawed mentally, I think. Drop off. And then I think, you know, Philly and New York are next. And then I think Miami is in that group with Milwaukee, Cleveland, Orlando, and Indiana. And could they get hot enough to make a run? Yes, but they've made it very difficult on themselves. All right, when we come back, we will get into something more Miami specific here. I haven't given you my answer yet, though. I think they're going to be the 8 and be in Philadelphia on Wednesday. I think they'll win the game. I think they're going to get no help. I think it's deserved. Well, it doesn't matter if they win and get no help or they lose. It's the same thing. They're going to be the 8th seed. But that Washington lost, that Memphis lost. Game. Oh, well, I don't.
We need them as a podcast to win that playing game so bad. Like it's.
I know we do. Oh, not just a podcast, it's a network. I mean, otherwise, yeah. I'm looking for work. All right, let's talk about our great sponsor here next, our friends over at c-arbitstaffing.com. Nelson doesn't want this. Nelson, like everybody else in our who follows our network or sponsors our network, is a huge Heat fan. He wants them to keep going as long as possible. That's reason enough to reach out to him. But if you're in a medical office, you definitely should reach out to him. They rent the C-Arm standalone. They rent it with an X-ray tech, and they offer complete in-office procedures where they bring the C-Arm, the table, the leads, and the X-ray tech together. They can handle anything for you. Okay, so here's what I say. We got a lot of people in our audience who do work in medical facilities, surgery centers, hospitals, etc., or maybe a significant other does. Tell him about Nelson and his team based right here in South Florida. Again, it's c-arminstaffing.com. Again, it's c-arminstaffing.com. And again, it's mobile C-arm and staffing services. We promote them on Instagram as well. Make sure you check out the 5 Reasons Sports Instagram account. They've got a great video there that sort of shows everything they do. And I try to put that up there a couple times a week so everybody can get a good look at it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, let's get to this here, and let's just a couple minutes on the Heat before we close here, because you were at the game, and it's kind of a practice game, like you mentioned. RJ Barrett went nuts, as he sometimes does against the Heat, and sometimes he goes the other direction and does nothing against them. But it really was the Jovic-Hawkins game, and it leads to this question right now. I don't want to talk about Jimmy in this segment. We've done too much of that. I don't want to talk about Bam, and I don't want to talk about Tyler. Let's just... Okay, I'm going to put a block on the three of them right now. If I was to say to you right now, who's the most important guy for them to make some kind of a run? This is independent of opponent, seeding, anything like that. I'm just saying I'm going to give you your choice. Somebody else on this roster who's either played last night or – because I expect the same group to play Sunday as played Friday. I don't expect Rozier to play. I don't expect Duncan to play. I think it's going to be the exact same lineup, same group. Hero and Caleb, I guess, as your backcourt, right, if they want to call it that. Jimmy, Jovic, and Bam, you know, the front court. And obviously, Hawkins, Highsmith, DeLon or Patty probably off the bench, and Kevin Love, who's really been good lately. I give you anybody in that group other than the top three, I'll throw Rozier and Robinson in there. Who is the guy that needs to pop the most for them to make a run, like Caleb did last year? Because if we're going to talk about who it was outside of the top three, obviously when I was hurt, it was Caleb. So who is it this season?
Honestly, it is a tough question. And I'm not just playing into the joke about me saying that a lot. It really is, because I'm like trying to, you know, you did a good. Like job stalling for time there, and it gave me a decent amount of time to think, and I still don't feel great about any answer. Like, I think so much has changed throughout the season that it's left me just feeling like I don't know who needs to jump out the most. What I do want to compare it to, right, is if you're trying to replicate what you did last season, there was a lot of, like, you know, one night it was Gabe's night, one night it was Caleb's night, one night Caleb, and obviously things change with the matchups and all of that, and I think they need to replicate that, right? Like that as a whole. Mm-hmm. So that's the first part of this, right? Is the cop-out answer is they need to have, you know, nice ball movement and team play as a whole. You know, the threes are falling. It's not one role player you're depending on. But with that being said, if I had to pick one, I'm leaning Jovic. And I can't believe I'm really saying that, because like this season, you know, when the season started, I was just clamoring for him to be a part of it. And then, you know, when he did start being a part of it, it was like, oh, starter, or you don't play. His role has evolved ever since. And, you know, he's got an extra stint here and there, depending on guys being in and out, of course. But I just think, like, you're playing him now in the role that you were playing K-Love when you acquired him last season. And now K-Love is just kind of your full-time backup five. Those units have been, you know, pretty much your most stable and solid bench units throughout the season when he's been there. And now you're playing him as the starter. And I just think, you know, he showed a lot there, and somebody who can be relied upon as a play finisher and connector is reliable, man. And I want to see him, like, if he continues to play more or less at this level in the playoffs, it's really encouraging, because I think those shots will be there for him. We've seen teams pack the paint against the Heat a lot more this season. We'll see how much of that happens in the playoffs versus certain teams and certain coaches, Doc Rivers. But, you know, I think Jovic will have a good amount of opportunity there. And I think in theory, his play style fits with the team and in reality. So I think, you know, he is probably the best answer here, because it's a 20-year-old. He's already a starter, getting around 15, 20 minutes a game for you. I think he'll probably stick around there. But other than that, Love was huge for them last year. So I was thinking about him as the answer here. Caleb, obviously, was huge for them last year. And then you talk about, I even thought about saying Jaime, too, because if Jaime stands out in the playoffs, that means he is kind of outperforming the concern of his spot-up shooting, which is, to me, the biggest concern with him, because it's like they're going to be leaving him open all day long in the playoffs. I could 100% see that now. They're going to leave him wide open, and he's going to be taking more threes than not, and that's why I'm a little bit concerned about it. Like, last night, he looked great. I think he's starting to move a little bit better again, because that groin injury, to come back from that as quick as he did is kind of tough. His first NBA season, of course, much, much longer than college basketball seasons. I'm sure, rookie wall, all that stuff. But basketball-wise, if he is standing out, that means he's getting his touches. He's getting the occasional post touches. He's getting the ball and getting opportunities to attack the rim, because that's really what stood out in the beginning of the season, on top of him making his open three. So, Jovic is my answer, but I do feel like you can make a case for those four guys there.
I'm not going to pick any of them, so I'm glad we did this. I'll say this. Jovic, to me, is the answer for long-term. If we're looking beyond this season, we're saying what's the most important thing to see in this postseason, it's the continued growth and development of this kid, because he's going to be a front-end player for them. I think it's pretty clear at this point. Kevin Love, I love what he's accomplished, but obviously, look, there's limitations to the role. And honestly, if Kevin is having to do too much, it's probably because Bam isn't. And I'm going to try to at least throw it and back in the mix. Well, him too. But and Hawkins, to me, Hawkins is a guy who can pop if they go deep into the playoffs. And it's like, wow, there was a Hawkins game where he came off the bench and he gave him, 12 points in quick minutes. And like you kind of mentioned, maybe it's because the 3-point shooting has come around a little bit. And Caleb, we've kind of seen it. Again, we've seen it in spurts here in the second half of the season. He had a great run from three coming out of the break. That's tailed off a little bit. I think you can say the same about Highsmith. They've got decisions to make about both of them going forward here, and I think this will be instructive. But to me, it's the two guys who are hurt right now. That's because and here's the thing about that, okay? They not only have to get Duncan back, they have to get the Duncan they were getting. I just don't know. I don't think they know. I don't think he knows. He's never had a back injury before, as he told us. He did try to push himself to come back. This, again, goes against our whole thing about, Heat players have taken a long time to come back this year. He's the one guy. He and Caleb are the guys, and Bam have kind of tried to push themselves back in, whereas it seems like Tyler takes longer than Tyler looks better when he actually does come back. But they have to get the Duncan who was dynamic for them. And I'm not just talking about the shooting. I'm talking about the playmaking, the shot creation, the passing, all of that kind of stuff. They needed him desperately. He saved them. We're forgetting now for the large portion of this season. We're talking about a most improved player candidate, but they need that. But because I don't know if they can get that, I'm going to default to Terry. And I'm going to say Terry because to me, he's the only one of these other guys we're talking about who can be a front end guy for them in this postseason. Yep. Who, if Jimmy just isn't, and we're not going to talk about Jimmy now, but if Jimmy just isn't Jimmy anymore, playoff Jimmy, and I have my doubts, as I've expressed many times on this podcast. I mean, since the All-Star break, Jimmy is averaging, I'll go through it, 22 games, he's averaging 20 points on 49% shooting, 5 rebounds, 5.5 assists. Fine numbers, okay, he's still got the best plus-minus on the team since the break, but we've talked about his struggles in big games and against good defenses.
I love how you broke Rozier your own rule.
I just did it. Rozier is right there, though. In 21 games, Terry has averaged 18.2 points on 45, 42, 89 splits with 4 rebounds, 4.2 assists, a steal, basically same steal and fewer turnovers than Jimmy. So if you're talking about the guy who can replicate, not with the same play style, but can replicate some of the numbers that Jimmy and also can potentially make some of those shots down the stretch, which Jimmy has struggled to make this year. I know Tyler's back in the mix for that. Terry, to me, is the barometer here. Do they have a front-end guy? Do they have a front-end guy they're going to build with? He can be part of the front of this core. Then they'll have to make decisions to make with him and Tyler going forward. There's more there now there's more there for Jovic in the future. No question to me now, Nico is going to be a long, he's not traded. He's going to be a long-term part of this. I love everything about the kid. I think he's going to be right there with Bam. This is the front court. Get used to it. Okay. But it's, to me, if they're going to do anything nobody's expecting them to do this year, Terry has to pick up some of the Jimmy slack, I think, and prove that he's that guy. So I'm going to say Rozier.
This makes me really nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. Because these two guys and their current situations are the biggest reasons I don't feel a little bit better about, you know, like I think I could theoretically talk myself into like, oh, you know, the Heat win the playing game and it's not that bad. Like you don't have like that tough of a road back to the conference finals because it's like the Bucks have historically been a good matchup for them. Obviously, things are different with Dame. It's a different, you know, animal when you're trying to, you know, before your whole defense is focused on cutting Giannis off, and it's going to be harder to do that if you have to worry about a guy like Dame as well. You know, it's not going to be easy, but you know, their future defense, you know, on top of the Heat kind of having figured out their defense in the past, on top of Doc Rivers, on top of the way that they've played since Doc has been the coach, like the coach, I think these are all things that could really benefit the Heat. The problem is I can only talk myself into that if you tell me Terry and Duncan are more or less themselves. It doesn't even need to be 100. I just don't feel confident in that because of how they looked before they went out, specifically Duncan, because the Terry thing, I'm not 100% sure, you know, with the neck thing, you know, if he's back, hopefully he's looking, I feel a little bit more confident that he can get back to the level he was playing at. Duncan, oh my God, he did not look anything like himself after he came back from injuries. And yeah, like you said, it's a back thing is never easy when it's just talking about the back. And he has, I believe the facet joint syndrome, right? Is that what it's called? I looked it up, and again, I'm no doctor here, but it says it's usually
she stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
It says facet pain is usually heightened with activities that can cause excess movement of the spine, such as rotating or bending the spine backward, twisting and lifting. That's a little bit hard to say, but
especially everything he needs to do.
Exactly. Duncan Robinson's entire game is coming off a screen, twisting his back and doing that crazy shot that is just most people in the NBA can't do. He is literally twisting his back and every time he goes up to take a shot. Like, I can't imagine how tough that is and how much that can mess with your confidence, which with a guy like the last guy who needs to have problems with his confidence, right? It's like we had just figured all of that out. He became a whole new player, and now he has this whole other thing to it. I'm like, I don't feel confident that he's going to come back looking like himself, and they absolutely need that. I think if Terry and Duncan could play at that level, Tyler looking good, even with the way Jimmy's playing, if you just tell me Jimmy's giving you 22, 23 points per game, solid defense, and the other guys are giving you what they're supposed to, I think they can make it back to the conference finals. Of course, the defense being where it needs to be. But if you're telling me Terry and Duncan are kind of limping into this, I don't know that they could beat the Bucks.
But see, that's why, that's why I'm leaning Terry here, because I'm not saying I've given up on Duncan getting back to the level he was earlier this season, but you're right. It's a ramp up, and it's a ramp up. First, he's got to be physically capable of it, but then it's getting the confidence back, because even that was starting to go. When Tyler came back, we saw Duncan's role change again, and he kind of slipped back into the background. So it's not like he was playing at the high level and doing all the things he was prior, and then he deals with the injury, and now he's got to come back. I have a little bit more confidence because, look, Terry came back from the knee, which we thought was going to be a season-ending injury when it first happened, and he actually came out firing when he came back. So I have some confidence, and look, it's a stiff neck, okay? I don't know the specifics of it, but the way it's been described by the Heat doesn't sound as daunting as what we've heard about with Duncan. So I have a little bit more faith in him coming back. It makes sense to sit him the rest of the regular season. It always did. But now, okay, once you get in the postseason, I think it's a big lift for them. The question I have with Terry, but I want to save this for when we do more podcasting after Sunday's game, is how it looks with Tyler. Because next bit, Tyler's in the mix and Duncan's not in the mix. We were like, okay, they haven't played that much together. We went through it yesterday. They played 11 games together, I think 128 total minutes. Tyler and Terry, and the results have not been great, but it's been such a small sample size that we don't really know what to make of it, particularly on the defensive end, and also in a usage perspective, that you're just going to hit the ground running with Terry. And I think you have to, because I think you need what he provides, and you just have to deal with how it may not fit perfectly with everybody coming back, a little more confidence with him at least coming back healthy than Duncan coming back healthy. And that's why I'm going to say Terry Rozier.
I honestly wouldn't.
But I understand the Jovic pick.
Yeah, no.
I understand the Jovic pick.
I wouldn't feel good even if it was just Terry coming back and looking like himself. That's how much I think they need Duncan. Because it's like, you know, Terry and Tyler, you know, are completely different types of players than you've had in your past playoff runs. Since obviously Tyler's been banged up for those. But, you know, that's really helpful for Jimmy not to have to do everything. But I just think, like, it's going to result in a lot of one-on-one ball. At the end of the day, you're not going to have Duncan out there. Because I do think, like, they can try. Like, without Duncan, like, their ball movement and player movement is just not the same. The ball doesn't pop the same. And, you know, they've had some nights here and there, like that Houston game, the ball really popped. But on a night-to-night consistent basis to try to, you know, have nice player and ball movement without Duncan Robinson, yeah, I love Nico, but he can't do it on his own, man. Like, I think that's going to be really tough. And they, like, he is, you know, one of their best shot creators because that Duncan – bam, two-man game just opens up a lot for everybody else, gets everybody else moving, finds openings and advantages for everybody else. They need him bad. And I just don't love the way that, like, those two, and especially him, are trending. Like, they really need both of them back badly.
He mentioned the Duncan-Bam thing. That duo has played more minutes together than any other on the Heat this year. That's the number one duo in terms of minutes.
And that's, like, the one that we're, like, we're good. Like, I mean, I'm glad they played a lot together, but, like, we know that they're great together.
We know what they are. We know. Well, they've played, they've played about 12 times as many minutes as Tyler and Terry have played together, just for some context on that. And so, you know, we're not going to know it till we see it. All right. Well, what we do know is that we'll be at the arena on Sunday. Also do want to mention, in addition to the post-game podcast on Monday night, it'll originate on the YouTube channel. Alf, our old friend, he's still on some of our promotional cards. Alf and Giancarlo from Miami Heat Beat are going to be among those who join Greg and Alex and I. We might bring Brady on there as well. We'll see. I just want to beef with Alf for 30 minutes. I think that's going to be fun, you know, because we might as well not call each other out on Twitter anymore. Might as well do it there. So Monday night, 8 o'clock. YouTube channel, and then it'll go to the podcast feeds afterwards. And of course, we'll have coverage of everything else. We mentioned Off the Floor at the beginning. I'll mention it again. Sign up, $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.